This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
14 minutes gone past 8 o'clock. Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to Nigeria Info. This is where we have Port Harcourt's biggest conversation. It's Friday, 12th November 2021. So there's been some development on the matter of the raid on Justice Odili's residence in Abuja. And the police paraded some people yesterday. So I have in front of me the police report. Press statement sent by Frank Kumba, police PRO. And he says they arrested 14 persons, including the principal suspect, some guy who they said was parading himself as a chief superintendent of police. That CSP, his name, Lawrence, I believe. Lawrence Ajudu. Yeah, that's his name. So, on the 1st of November, the IG said that we're going to carry out, you know, an investigation around who authorized security operatives to carry out an assignment at the Justice Odili's Mary Odili's residence in Abuja. So the Attorney General said he wasn't aware of it. IGP, nobody was aware of it, basically, but it did happen. You know, some people apparently dressed in police or army or whatever uniforms went there. And they tried to get into the house, but that did not happen. So, the names they gave, Ajodo Lawrence, the principal suspect, male. Michael Diete Spief, male. Barrister Alex Onyekuru, male. Bayeru Lawo, male. Barrister Igwe Ernest, male. Aliyu Umar Ibrahim, male. Maimuna Meishanu, female. Ayodele Adkindikwe, male. Yusuf Adamu, male. Bashir, where are we? Bashir Musa, male. ASP Mohammed Yahya, male. ASP, that's the police. Stanley Nkwazema, male. Shehu Jibo, male. And Abdullahi Adamu. There's some other person. LCPL Mike, other name unknown, male. How do you arrest a person and you're not even able to establish his second name in a country like this? So he says they are members of a well-organized criminal gang with a web-like involvement of individuals drawn from their different competencies, professional background, and social contact in perfecting the criminal plot. So he says the members of the syndicate include suspects with background in public service, business, law, journalism, banking, among others. And they said some whistleblower said some whistleblower, Aliyu Umar Ibrahim, listen to this. The facts of the case from police investigation have been that one Aliyu Umar Ibrahim, an acclaimed whistleblower, following a baseless and unverified information he got from one Yusuf Adamu, parading himself as the godson of Chief Peter Odili, that there is a huge sum of money in foreign currencies stashed in the residence of Her Lordship Justice Mary Odili, located on number 7 Imo River Street, Maitama, initiated processes aimed at illegally recovering the said money. So it has come out now that the case was allegedly about some money, lots of it kept in foreign currency in their home. That was why that raid took place. Now the story has changed. Anyway, he said the suspect criminally trespassed on the residence of a lordship. They were not allowed to execute the search warrant, so they did have a warrant. And the question now became, how easy is it to get a search warrant or any warrant from a magistrate court? They were not allowed to execute the search warrant due to lawful resistance from police officers on guard at her residence. Police findings also reveal that the principal suspect is an imposter and not a police officer, as he falsely claimed. So what the police have said, in essence, is that it is possible for people who are not police officers to just show up anywhere with a document and get entry into anywhere. That's what, you know, this document says. My guest is joining me via the phone from Lagos, Chike Chude, Public Affairs Analyst. Chike, good morning.
Good morning, Emma.
Thank you for your time. So I have the document in front of me, the police press release sent by Frank Mba yesterday. And from what he said, these people, he said they're part of a criminal syndicate with different backgrounds in business service, law, public service, business, law, journalism, banking, among others. I think they mentioned a journalist among those people that were paraded yesterday. And, you know, the matter now becomes, how easy is it to get a warrant from a magistrate court, or from any court for that matter? And also how it is possible that people can just come together and show up somewhere and want to gain entrance, and perhaps they could have gained entrance and something, I mean, they could have done whatever it is they wanted to do and just left the place. Now, this matter is here because we're talking about a very senior person, Justice, Her Lordship Justice Mary Odili, who is next in line to the CJN. But it could have been any other person. What does this say about, you know, the level of insecurity in Nigeria?
The release from the Nigerian Police Force to the spokesman Frank Mba, I think it's riddled with so many questions rather than answers. It has taken out, it's a syndicate, obviously a criminal syndicate. What is the purpose of the entire scenario? What is the purpose of the warrant they obtained from the court? What is the purpose of the invasion of the privacy of the private, you know, private residence of the judge Odili, Mary Odili? What do they intend to achieve? Because they are insinuating is that possibly the whistleblower, the fake whistleblower that contacted some people, said that there's so much money in foreign currency. So the impression is that what they were looking for is to lay siege on the place and collect as much foreign exchange, you know, as they wanted. Whether they were going to do any harm to her is what I don't know, whether it was part of the plan. Now, that is very strange. For you to have that number of people involved in a particular operation. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it seems exceedingly strange too. Now you have a fake policeman and you have fake policemen. Mm. You have real army soldiers. You have a journalist involved. You have fake lawyers and you have real lawyers.
Yeah.
And then you have somebody representing the Central Bank of Nigeria, and then somebody posing as a director of the EFCC and all that for a non-existent government agency. So these are some of the issues. But then again, it speaks to volumes about the level of insecurity that we have in this country. And of course, it's important that the government moved extremely very fast to try to uncover this, because all kinds of insinuations have arisen as a result of this thing that has happened. Obviously, people are imputing all kinds of macabre intention on the part of the people behind it. And of course, in a country that is already divided along primordial lines, it was very expedient that the police moved fast, because of course you know that part of the insinuation, just like you have indicated, that Mary Odili is probably next in line to succeed the CJN, who people have calculated is ill. And so if anything happens to him, Mary Odili is going to take over. And then a lot of people will now go back to the past to remember what happened to Onoge, at CJN, and how he moved out of office simply because he didn't happen to come from a particular part of the country. So when something like this happen, you must move fast to douse the suspicion that would arise, because people are going to impute all kinds of unwholesome primordial sentiments to what is going on. And so But there, that's why I'm saying that there are still so many questions, to answer. Again, look at the judge, the magistrate judge, who said that he was deceived into issuing a warrant. How was he deceived? I mean, what kind of deceit was used on him? And did he know where that warrant was going to be executed? Obviously, he knew because he was punished with details of the premises that would be searched. So if that is the case, he knew that it was going to be the premises of the justice of the Supreme Court of Nigeria. Now, that is not a small thing. That is a very, very serious issue. And the magistrate must have known that there is a process, for investigating judges. There is a process for taking actions, certain punitive actions against judges. And that this process starts with a complaint to the National Judicial Commission that will now take it from there. Before action is taken against an erring justice or judge. So how come that the magistrate did not know about it? So what one can conclude is that perhaps the magistrate was also part of that process. The issue of being deceived, I don't think it flies with me personally. Again, it just gives you an idea that people can be so brazen. Don't forget again that people had been insinuating that the Minister of Justice and Attorney General of the Federation, Malami, is also part of this process of trying to embarrass Mary Odili. Of course, it might not be true, but in this country, we have learned that you cannot just discard any rumor that emanates, because as it is said, there is in every
an
atom of truth.
Mm. But there also is the matter of a certain one of the people who was arrested, saying that he works for a consultant, saying that he works for that's the Lawrence Ajodo guy, claimed to work as a consultant for the Office of the Attorney General of the Federation, which the AGF, of course, has quickly distanced himself from.
Hold on,
Achike. You see, the police said that they found that there was no involvement at all of the officials of the office of the AGF in the raid. So the police have exonerated the AGF.
Look, a lot of Nigerians will just laugh when the police exonerates the AGF. Who is the police and who is the AGF? The AGF answers directly to the president of this country. You appointed him. So before you want to move against such a person, you must be very, very careful. I'm not saying that the AGF is guilty, but the man that has been arrested has implicated as the AGF. So you might say, well, it's his word against that of the AGF, and who is going to come out tops? Obviously, it has to be the AGF, because he has all the connections, he has all the powers, he has all the authority, and then the police, in a way, it might not be directly under the AGF, but would also answer when it comes to the issues of law, and prosecution, of certain things to the AGF. So it is difficult for me, for the AGF, to extricate himself, that perhaps there will have to be some other evidences to show that he is not involved in this process. Don't forget the role he also played with Onoge. He was very much involved in the ouster of Onoge. Again, perhaps for primordial, parochial reasons or sentiments. So it is going to that way. But one of the things we need to know is the consultancy firm, that this man who implicated the AG. The consultancy firm, does it exist? If it exists, is it owned by the AG, or does the AG have any kind of affiliation with that consultancy firm? So, and I guess that since the authorities in the country, since there is a conflict of interest in this matter, because the duty of journalists, people like you, and our journalists, to also investigate further, to see whether the man is actually working for that consultancy firm, and whether the consultancy firm belongs to Malami, or Malami has an affiliation with that consultancy firm. So you can imagine, because of the implication, don't forget that Malami is under very serious pressure. Some people in the MDA, some lawyers, very prominent lawyers, visited the office of the Attorney General not too long ago, and were very upset about what happened, and they are moving to disbar him, to remove the sanction from him. And so that is going to be a very big disgrace and an embarrassment to him if he is, if a son is taken away, the senior advocate of Nigeria, the title is taken away from him. And so obviously he will have a lot to do to try to protect himself. But again, like I'm saying, there is no evidence that Malami is actually guilty of the accusations. But I can tell you that the man who implicated him knows who Malami is. He knows how powerful he is in the country. So if you can say this about Malami, if you can summon the courage to say this about Malami, then he might not be too far from the truth, because he knows the implication of what he has just said. Why would he want to implicate Malami, the Attorney General, Minister of Justice for Nigeria? Why would a man have that courage, that boldness to want to say, look, this thing this man is trying to extricate himself from, that the man is actually the one that organized this?
But Achike, it could also be the enemies of Malami working, through this Lawrence Ajodo passing.
But that is the point. But the reality is that the enemies of Malami, who controls the level of power in this country, really? Where does it lie? Is it with the enemies of Malami? If the reality is that if such people, want to implicate the Attorney General of the Federation without any iota of proof or evidence, then they know the implication. They know the punishment that they are going to get.
So this other matter,
the Malami will use every resources, all the resources at his disposal, to make sure that people who have accused him, wrongly, will be punished. So I think it is a weighty thing for anybody to just get up and then accuse somebody like Malami of this kind of thing. And then I think it is an oppression that backfired.
Okay.
Like I said, there's no evidence of,
So Achike, we have a mixed grill, according to the police document, which I have in front of me. Fake lawyers, real lawyers, fake police, real police, fake soldiers and real soldiers. What does that also tell? Because these are the arms of government, And then the journalist was killed as well.
The people who did this, the people who know the person they are doing it to, they know that it is a justice of, that the residence is the residence of the justice of the Supreme Court. That is a very big office. It's a very high office in this country. You don't do just anything to belittle a Supreme Court justice. And so they had, that encouragement from somewhere. They must have had. And so what were they looking for? To discover, and because that's what people are speculating, that the essence was to tarnish her image, the essence was to cast doubt about her person. And don't forget, again, this is what happened with Onoge to a very large extent. Onoge was successfully stained or not is a completely different thing, because what happened with Onoge, or what they accused Onoge of doing, a lot of people have done 1,000 times more than that, and they have been let go. So perhaps there's a political agenda or not, but I'm not saying that if Onoge was guilty at that time, the law should not move against him. I'm definitely not saying that.
Mm-hmm.
But again, in a country where we have seen things happen, where it took the vice president of this country to appoint, to confirm Onoge's appointment as a CJN, and that was when the president refused until the president went abroad and was sick, and then the vice president used that opportunity to confirm that appointment. So with coming on board, it just in case of anything happening with the current CJN, and this same cycle begins again.
Okay.
Again. It casts doubt. It's a basis for some suspicion.
Okay, so we're here now, and people are asking and saying that it's because it's such a highly placed person that if it were the girl next door, the guy next door, perhaps it would have been another story.
Look, perhaps. The issue is that you cannot, Jesus said something about having the poor among you always.
Mm.
He wasn't pushing for poverty, but he was talking about the social reality. So there will always be that social reality of people being more important than others. Because before man they could be more important, before God they might not be more important. So let's qualify that, let's clarify that. In every society, the people that are more distinguished, people that have completed, that have accomplished much, people that have achieved much, usually are considered to be much more important than other people. But even though what people say, well, everybody's equal before the law, we know that it does not always apply. Presidents are not exactly, you know, equal before the law. Supreme Court justices exactly are not, you know, equal before. Let us look at the social reality that we are going through. You know, so if somebody, for instance, comes to pick me in my house for doing something, maybe the police, it will not attract the kind of attention that it will attract if you arrest a serving minister, for instance, in government, or a former minister in government. It will attract more attention. Do you understand? So that is exactly what I'm saying. So I don't think that is an argument that one should use in this matter.
All right, so
let me conclude this. Why is it that presidents, for instance, have more security personnel guiding them? Why is it that they also, the allowances are paid for members of National Assembly? Why is it that they have special privileges? Because they are giving these privileges for the purpose of doing the work of the people, the ordinary people. Do you understand? So that's why they are giving special privileges.
Okay.
So if we begin to say that these privileges are not, they don't exist, then I think that we're just deceiving ourselves. It is a reality.
Okay.
It's a fact of life.
So where do you see this going? The police have said they will continue investigation, continue to advance the rule of law, and combating all forms of crimes and criminality in the country. Where do you see this going?
No, the matter is a bad issue. The government's narrative is the one that will dominate at the media space. Unless journalists are bold enough, you know, to do proper investigation and then bring about and expose some of the contradictions of the government claim. Yeah, it's as simple as that. So journalists should not just sit on their oars. They should be more diligent. They should involve the power of their investigative abilities, and then get to the bottom of these things. I mean, what journalists do is to go behind the news and then to, you know, give us the news behind the news. That's what's expected. But if they don't do this, then all of us will be compelled to take the narrative of the government, because it is the dominant narrative. Until you can provide an alternative, this is what is going to be accepted.
All right. Thank you very much, Ajike Chude, for your time.
Thank you.
Ajike Chude, public affairs analyst, joins me from Lagos. Commercial has to play. If we have a little time, we'll talk to Henry Kinney, a lawyer, to find out how easy it is, or the process for getting a warrant from a magistrate court, or any court for that matter. My name is Enoch Bavuri. Stay tuned.
We take off with the biggest conversations, with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Harcourt.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station.
Chat Station.
And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news, and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info. This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Just sharing basically updates on the raid on Justice Mary Odili's residence by certain persons who the police have not identified, some of them, police officers, and someone camouflaging as a police officer, soldiers, someone camouflaging as a soldier, lawyers, someone or people camouflaging as lawyers, a journalist is mentioned there. And a whistleblower. I mean, it's kind of messy, the mix. I spoke to Ajike Chude a while ago on this matter. Ajike Chude says, until there is new information, a new angle to this, we are going to just have to go with the police on the government side of the story. For some people, it's dead on arrival. They think that nothing is going to happen because they've seen in the past police parade suspects, and then in the end, that's all we hear. And the last time we spoke about this, I can't recollect with whom, the person said, I think it was Frank Mba, in a document, he said, was it the police here, that it's not their business to let us know who's been taken to court. That's the journalist's business to follow up such stories. 0817-923-0002, 0817-923-0003, 0817-923-0009. For you, is it a case of more questions than answers? Let's talk. Tango Datebu says, okay, we're going to talk to Achike today if we can. Not a fan of the Buhari regime, writes Relish. I consider his government... Why do people do this? If you want to contribute to a conversation, just stay on the conversation, all right? Those who indulge in organized crimes are connected, wealthy, and politically powerful. They have the capacity to penetrate any public and private entity to do their bidding. Organized crime is the number one problem of the world. Tony Anthony Odum, send that in. David West is calling from Inagua. Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Eno.
Yes, good morning. Let's hear you.
Okay. Now, for me, like I have said in the morning, I'm happy that indeed persons have been arrested. Suspects so far have been shown or paraded. And on the issue of Malami, he had distanced himself from the said the acclaimed man who said he's a consultant for his for him. We don't know whether it is for his private firm or as the Ministry of Justice, which we are yet to know. But Malami had said he does not know anything about that man, or he had distanced himself. The same thing you remember, I think, is it the Vanguard or This Day newspaper too, had also distanced themselves from the acclaimed journalist that the man does not work for them. Beautiful. Let us allow the process to go on. And I believe as the processes are going on, we'll begin to see the truth and where all the angles are coming from.
All right, Chima is in the warfare. Chima, good morning.
Good morning, Eno. Yes, Eno, I think there's more questions need to be asked about this issue. Because
All right, so we have Henry Kine on the phone, thankfully. We'll just do this in about 60 seconds. Kine, good morning. Thank you for your time.
Good morning. No, thank you for having me.
Yes. So how is it, how does it work to get a search warrant from a court? And are there courts that cannot issue one? Educate us.
Okay, it will begin by a personal application to the court, and then, of course, you will state the facts expectedly for that warrant, and then the contents of the warrant will clearly indicate against whom it was issued, whether of arrest or search, and then that's against the person to be searched or arrested, the place, the date, and who is given the power to so arrest or search. Those are fundamental contents of search warrants or a warrant of arrest. So particularly in the case of a search, it will mean that the applicant or the authority or person that is being given the power to go search will be clearly identified. Then the place and the person, or if it is a property or a place to be searched, must be clearly identified as well. And then, of course, the authority that is issuing that would also be clearly identified and issued by the hand of that authority. That's the extent to which I can explain.
So when a magistrate,
of course, the content.
So when a magistrate said he was misled, or he was, what's the word he used now? What does that even mean?
Yes, it's possible that an authority or a judicial officer or whoever has the authority to issue a warrant to be misled. And let me put this in context. Even judgments by a court can be obtained by fraud, by some deceit. And then you would not hold the court liable for being deceived. But when you bring the fact of the deceit to the court can withdraw that judgment or like that. So compare that to also an application for a search warrant. The authority may not be seized of all the facts as to be true. for real. It does not require to carry out any inquiry or investigation to verify those facts, especially when those facts are on oath. Then it is prima facie, or let's say on the face of it, can be presumed to be correct and, okay, and true, and we will believe and act on it. So when the facts are on affidavit, and then the courts will just examine the procedure if it is complied with, they can issue that. So actually, the magistrate can be misled by facts that are given by the person who knew that the facts were untrue, and then, of course, made the magistrate to believe that the facts were true.
Okay, so who can obtain a search warrant?
Sorry?
Who can obtain a search warrant from a court? Who?
A search warrant can be obtained by the police, mm-hmm, or any arresting authority, or any individual person or authority that a law has vested the power to arrest or to search on that person. And then clearly by our laws, arresting authorities, by the extant laws that establish those authorities, have the power to arrest and to search. So, take example, the police, the customs, the civil defense corps, the EFCC, and all those arresting authorities, okay, that have the power vested in them by law to so arrest can apply for a warrant of arrest.
Okay, so
it can also be issued by a superior officer within these agencies, not just a magistrate or a judge.
Okay, so which can a warrant be gotten from any courts?
Can a warrant be gotten from any court? Yes, a magistrate's court, a high court, a judicial officer. Any judicial officer can issue a warrant.
All right, thank you very much, Ekene, for your time.
Thank you very much, Justice.
All right. So he says you can actually get it under false pretense because the person issuing it, the judicial officer, will not be privy to all the information on the matter. But that's where we draw the curtain. So keep our eyes on this matter. They said some people are at large, 14 have been arrested. Where is this going? More questions and answers. That's what my guest, Achikechide, said earlier on. My name is Enoh Gbeviri. Thank you for your time. Good morning.